No, usted ve, tú te me can de can present y esta de esta cosa que can y what are the members? There are only two things in our agenda. This is a briefing by the Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries on budget board number 25. And after that, we're going to have our own thing, that is the minister and the other thing. I don't have, I have the apologies, about four apologies, OTPS, Prince Zulu, Mabisa, and Panami. And also Mabi is attending the JSE meeting at the SEC. Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm just listening to you or Chief and you for you that you're talking. Before we start, I think I've introduced my name yesterday, but I can introduce again. Maybe there are those who are not in. I am Noluthando Kagami, the chairman of Land and Environmental Affairs. My hometown is Kofumbaba, Eastern Cape. I've been deployed by the ANC in the National Council of Provinces. I've got my two honorable members. I think I can take this opportunity to introduce them. I've got Honorable Foro, who is coming from the Northern Cape. When we talk about him, he says he is a veteran because he's got the 61 unbroken service in the ANC. So he's a veteran. He's also deployed by the ANC. Also, our whip is a committee. He's with us. I've got also a veteran for the committee now, Honorable West. Honorable West is from the Free State. I understand also he is the veteran of his DA. We tried to seduce him to say, no, come over. I said, no, I'm the veteran. So we're waiting for Mamakanda, who is coming. We know our committee has got only 10 members. If 4 members, 5 members are out, so we're left with 5. Others are 6, so we'll end up with 2 members. So the department demands. Know that you are, but when it comes to the debate, everybody is going to hear everybody, even those that are not going to listen to the budget, they are going to be very strong in the house on that day. I wonder who's going to tell them what is it going to happen, but they are going to be very strong. I think I must hand over to the DG to introduce his interest.
Yeah, thank you, Chair, to the honorable members and also to the officials that are here. We want to thank you very much for allowing us to come back today to do the briefing. We must say we are very grateful to that. Chair, before I introduce the team, I want to quickly respond on that informal discussion we had before the official opening. We have now discussed the matter. We have just allocated one of our officials, Ubo Mansomi. He is working on the issue of We are developing a plan in the department, which we have discussed with the provincial department for revitalization of all the old irrigation schemes. Most of them come from the former homeland. We want to revitalize all of them. So we've had a meeting with the provinces, the HOVs from the provinces. We've agreed that they are going to put up business plans together with us, so that we can go back and make them work. So we have received the letter that you gave us from the municipality. We will then, before we visit the province, request the province also to send us a report and we are planning to go there on the 22nd of this month to go to the scheme. So by the 22nd, we must have had the report from the province, and then we want to go and visit the scheme on the 22nd of April. So that then, after that, you can immediately then present you a report, giving you the details of what went wrong and how we're going to deal with that situation. So that's the one area that we have agreed now, this is how we're going to sort it out. So we can promise that before the end of April we will have a full report about this scheme. Thank you, Chair. The team that is here with us, I will quickly request that very quickly each person will introduce himself, because it will take longer for me to tell you who each one of them is and what are they representing in the department. My name is Peter Tabete. I'm the acting DG for the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries.
Morning. My name is Elham Sia. I'm born and bred in Bloemfontein, and I've spent more than 10 years of my professional life in Kimberley. So I'm currently the program coordinator for the department on the developmental funding.
Morning. My name is Jacob Sashra, the acting CFO at DAF.
Good morning, I'm Koma, in the Office of the Director General.
Good morning, my name is Mono Mashaba, I'm the acting DG for Fisheries.
Good morning, my name is Gwang Msomi, I'm the Chief Director for Engineering and Resource Management.
Good morning, my name is Nina Dombuchula, I am Chief Director responsible for communication.
Good morning, my name is Mabukari Richard Seleke, responsible for planning and monitoring, also in the Office of the Director General.
Good morning, Trevor Mthoba is my name, I'm responsible for forestry.
Good morning, I'm Cindy, I'm acting director of forestry.
Good morning, I'm Shanti Nagia, legal director.
I'm Kantina Agia, legal services. My name is Sam, I'm Chief Director responsible for livelihood development support.
Good morning, my name is Anton Ola, Deputy Conference.
Yeah, Chair, before we hand back to you, we would like to register an apology. Two or more apologies. The first apology is from the minister. The minister wanted to be here in person. Unfortunately, she had to take the first flight this morning to Brazil because she's joining the president there on the IPSA summit, which is happening tomorrow. So first thing tomorrow morning she has to be there because there are very critical agricultural issues between us, India and Brazil that has to be attended to. So she could not be here today. And also an apology from our Deputy Minister that also had to be in Pretoria today for other engagements. You will realize, Chair, that we also have a number of DDGs that are not here today. Two of them have gone ahead of the Minister to Brazil to make preparation as the Minister was here today with the budget speech, so that by the time she gets there, the things would have been prepared. So there are two of them that we sent to Brazil, And then there are other two DDGs that we have sent to India, DDG Forestry and DDG Production. They went there to a conference on rural development that is led by Minister Quinty. So those two DDGs went with that conference where we had to go and make a presentation on a number of issues. So you will hear that the delegation is represented by the technical part now, which is mostly the chief director. So those are the policy chair that I wanted to take.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. We accept your apology. But when we coming to the budget vote and the first plan, at least we as a committee would like to see maybe the minister or the deputy minister plus the DG. You know, it means that if one is not attending our committee, we feel uncomfortable because it means that, as we said yesterday, maybe there is some little bit of not recognized us. If the minister is not here, we understand it's been out of court, but the deputy minister must attend as a political head to our committee. Just because of the time, and we are asking for the time, you know, we don't want those things. At least, in fact, we are going to discuss this with the minister and the deputy minister that we feel, and we don't want to raise that in the house whilst we're debating. And we can raise that in the house to raise our concerns to say that, you know, we feel uncomfortable with the department about their delegation. So if that thing will not be heavy. So I will just send that message to you that we are not happy. We are totally not happy. Because we're not dealing with the budget vote, we're dealing with the president. So we need someone from the political head. In those words, thank you. I think I must hand over to you, DG, to do your presentation.
Thank you, Chair. We will also convey and discuss the message with our political team. Thank you. Chair, we're going to go through the presentation. We believe that the documentation were circulated, the key documentation that we're going to be talking to. We'll go through the presentation, but we believe that the strategic plan of the department was also circulated to the committee, because that forms the core of the presentation that we're going to go through today and give it to you. So the structure of the presentation, we're going to look at the background status of the restructuring process, and then the Department of Agriculture and Forestry key priority areas. We also look at the outputs and targets, and we're also going to look at the budget. So those are the areas that we want to quickly cover in the presentation. In starting with the background, we want to report that the process of the integration of the three components of the new department, which is agriculture, forestry, and fisheries, has been concluded. And the conclusion we're talking about here is that 82% of the MCM has now been transferred to the department with effect from the 1st of April. You realize that there's a balance of about 18% that has not been transferred, which we are currently in the process of finalizing the balance. So we are happy to say the integration has happened from the 1st of April. The Marine and the Coastal Management Division transfer was encountered with a number of difficulties. think they have been resolved now. We are in the process. We have moved. We are very grateful to report that. We also want to indicate to you that the department has done a proposed structure that has undergone through a consultation process for implementation purposes. And the emphasis on the new organizational structure is to directly contribute on achieving government, the five key priorities that we have in. And we can also report to the committee that our structure is currently in the CPSA. That will be the final part of the consultation. We've done most of the consultation now. DPSA will give us a reflection, and we want to immediately move into the appropriate structure. We will first then look at the strategic plan of the department for 2010-2011. We have agreed to improve on the vision of the department, which will be saying we are a leading, dynamic, united, prosperous, and people-centered sector. That is very critical for us to be able to deliver on the outcome, to coin it in this way, that we want to make it people-centered. We also look at the mission, which will be achieved through developing and sustaining a sector that contributes and embraces, number one, economic growth and development. So it's very critical that when you look at the of the strategic plan, it talks to the contribution of agriculture into improving economic growth. So the sector must grow the economy, and also at the same time looking at development. We have to create jobs in the sector. Given the report that a number of jobs has been lost in agriculture, we have to begin to invest those jobs. That's what the strategy looks at. We also have to look at the issues of rural development. Agriculture is very critical in terms of rural development. We will also look at sustainable use of natural resources, because as we, in agriculture, are exploiting the use of those resources, we have also to make sure that they are looked after. And lastly is the critical issue of food security. Here we are talking about the national food security that we have to take care of. We also looked at the values. We're saying that the drive is that we are driven to deliver excellent service. That's the commitment that we're giving. We want to deliver an excellent service. The attitude, we're being an ambitious, passionate, reliable, and dedicated workforce. Now, it's upon these committees to charge us to say whether we are doing those things that we said we're going to do. In terms of fairness, we are saying we're going to act with objectivity, empathy, integrity, and transparency. And then, and lastly, the focus. We say we are focusing on people, we're going to focus on economic and rural development. Those are the three key areas where we're going to give our focus. That's the people, the economy, and rural development. The strategic goal and strategic objectives, I'm not going to go into the details of this one, but I'll quickly highlight them. The first goal is to increase profitable production for food, fiber, and timber products by all categories of producers, which is subsistence, smallholder, and commercial. Those are the three categories that we want to work with them so that they increase their profitability. Because if we work with them and then they don't realize any profitability in their action, we would not have achieved our results. Out of that goal, we've got some objectives that we want to achieve. Firstly, to promote an efficient production, handling, and processing of food, fiber, and timber. Those are the areas we want to see those things are being processed. Secondly, to coordinate government food security initiatives. Thirdly, to improve the production system anchored in the commodity with a competitive and a comparative advantage in each province. So we're saying these things are, we're going to reach out and make sure that they do happen there. Provinces are being commodity driven. What commodities will make it in each province? And then we provide that kind of support. And then fourthly, we're talking about the comprehensive support towards rural development, as coordinated by the Department of Rural Development and then the four. We want to make our fair share in terms of providing a comprehensive support in terms of rural development. And then we have a second goal, and our second goal is sustainable management of natural resources. As we are the users of the resources, we have got to sustain them. And our objectives on that one, we want to promote environmentally sustainable production systems. Secondly, to ensure that the sustainable management of efficient use of natural resources. Thirdly, to ensure protection of indigenous genetic resources. So we're using quite a number of genetic resources that we need to protect. Fourthly, to increase the contribution of greening jobs to improve livelihoods, especially in the rural areas. Our third goal is effective national regulatory service and risk management system. We know in agriculture we have to do a lot of work in terms of protection, in terms of our regulatory services. The first objective there is to promote safe food by managing the levels of risk associated with food, diseases, pests, natural disaster, and trade. Those are the areas that we need to deal with. Secondly, we want to establish and maintain effective early warning and mitigation systems. Those are the two that goes with our national regulatory services and risk management systems that we want to put in place. Our fourth goal is to transform the United States. Objective to increase equity, ownership, and participation of the previously disadvantaged individual. Secondly, we want to enhance the system to support effective utilization of assets. Thirdly, we want to improve social working conditions in the sector. And you know that we have already begun to engage in a number of farm workers summit, so that we also begin to make an impact in terms of the social working conditions of those people. Fourthly, we want to provide leadership and support to research, training, and extension in the sector. We have realized the call of the minister already promising that all the agricultural training colleges will be reopened to make sure that we provide skills and training to the sector. All right. And then the fifth goal is for an increased contribution of the sector to economic growth and development, which is very key for us. Firstly, we want to increase growth, income, and sustainable job opportunities in the value chain. In this instance, we are not talking only in the primary sector, but we're also talking about the entire value chain, because this is where we believe we can also make meaningful contributions. Secondly, we want to achieve increased the level of public and private investment for the sector. Thirdly, we want to increase market access for South Africa, African agriculture, forestry, and fish products. That is domestically and internationally. That is where we want also to grow very aggressively and make sure that we open market, more critically, market in Africa. And also go internationally and look for markets for the product. Because if you increase production, you have to have market to sell those products. Number four, to increase production of feedstock to support the manufacturing sector. And number five, to promote the use of feedstock by products for renewable energy that we are having in the country. Our goal number six, effective and efficient governance. That is a very critical one for us. Number one, we want to establish and strengthen cooperative governments and functional relationship with local and international stakeholders. We are strengthening that area. We want to make sure that those relationships are improved. Secondly, to strengthen the policy planning monitoring and evaluation, reporting, and the sector information. Now, this one is very critical because it's the one that will make sure that the plans that we are implementing are properly done, there's proper monitoring, and in interaction with the Office of the Presidency, that these things that we are promising are happening on the ground in terms of monitoring, and also do proper reporting, which includes the committees, the parliamentary committees, has to be reported continuously in terms of these things that we are doing. Number four, to provide effective audit, investigative and legal, human resource and financial risk management. That is very critical for us to have for effective governance. To improve departmental service excellence through implementation of quality standards, multiple principles, and general legislative mandate. And then lastly, to provide leadership and manage communication and information. Because if you don't tell the public what you are doing, nobody will know what it is that we are achieving in terms of the plans that we are doing. So those are the goals, Chair, that we are putting for ourselves for the next financial year. We are saying these are the things that we believe we can be touched on in terms of implementation. We want to quickly go to the key outcomes for the department. We are saying, firstly, as a key outcome, we're talking about the comprehensive rural development linked to land reform and food security. That becomes an outcome for us, speeding up growth and transforming the economy to create decent work and sustainable livelihood. We want a massive program to build economic and social infrastructure. And lastly, we're talking about sustainable resource management and use. Those are the outcomes that we believe we can achieve in the sector. The programs that will assist us to make sure that we achieve these outcomes, which are also talking to the structure that we have submitted and consulted on. We will have a corporate service branch, and then we'll have another one branch that takes to stakeholder relations and legal services. We're going to have a chief financial officer. We're going to have a branch that looks at food security, agrarian, and marine reform. We're going to have a branch that talks to policy, planning, monitoring, and evaluation. We'll have a branch that talks to agriculture production, health, and food safety. We'll look also at marine fisheries and coastal management. We'll look at economic development, trade, and marketing, and a branch on forestry production and resource management. So these are the key areas that we are proposing how the department is going to be structured to be able to deliver on those outcomes. Very quickly, I'll look at each one of them. I'm not going to go into the details. The first one, which is the corporate, which is the administration. This is the support service. And we are saying the rationale is to ensure harmonization, rationalization, alignment, and to improve the functional integration and efficiency for improved management and regulation of the sector. We are saying about 404 million for human resource development management has been put aside for us to be able to achieve more specifically the integration, because we have to deal with the integration administratively, and your human resources must be developed to be able to deal with those things. And then, if I can jump to policy planning, monitoring, and evaluation, we are saying in line with the presidency's objective of ensuring service delivery through measurable performance and accountable delivery. We want to make sure that we, even before presidency, monitors us. We have done our own monitoring, and we are able to report to say this is what we have achieved, this is where we have got challenges. So we are putting up that for that purpose. And we are also saying we are putting that unit to engage provinces and other industry stakeholders to ensure monitoring of expected outcomes on a continuous basis. Without that unit, we are not able to engage and make sure that the provinces are doing and achieving those outcomes. That unit will also play that very key role. We are also saying provinces and the sector partners will then provide operational and implementation guidelines to achieve the desired outcomes. So we're calling upon them all, the sectors plus the provinces, to provide us with this plan. How are they going to work together with us to achieve this outcome that we've set up here? So they're going to work out plans towards this outcome. The functional activities of the production, producer support and technical advisory services should be executed by provinces in partnership with the private sector. So these are the things that this unit will make sure that those things are happening, so that we are not in a position in the future to have reports that we are not aware of. We have to begin to interact strongly with the private sector and the provinces. The issue of food security is very critical. So we have put up food security and agrarian reform to ensure the implementation of the government food security initiative. The department aims to improve the support mechanism for food production by subsistence and smallholder farmers. Chair, you realize that Minister, in the budget speech yesterday, already announced that the first chunk of money of 100 million has been rolled out to two provinces, which is Mpumalanga and KwaZulu-Natal, to make sure that subsistence and smallholder farmers are provided with support to make sure that they increase production. We want to see all fallow lands that were not cultivated in the past, they are put under production so that people begin to produce food. And we're going to follow up that and make sure that after those people have produced those food, there is market available. Those that they're going to not be able to consume locally, we have to provide markets for those people. We also want to develop a national extension policy and provide training and national extension support in support of the targeted groups. That one we've already indicated that even the colleges that are there for agriculture are going to be reopened so that we can massify and provide schemes for both farmers and the extension personnel. And then we also say the main focus will be on continuing the rollout on the extension recovery plan. We've already started a plan which we call extension recovery plan, where we are capacitating the current extension officers, providing them with the tools so that they are able to deliver. We want them to, where they are, when they come to a farm gate, they are able to provide the farmer with information at the spot. If the farmer needs marketing information, the extension officer is able to say, these are the prices in Cape Town, these are the prices in Durban. So those are the information we want them to be able to do. We also agreed that we will give them what we call a smart pen. A smart pen traces where you have been and what you have written with the pen. It centralizes into a central system so that we are able to track how effective the extension officer is in terms of visiting farmers, you know, and those reports that they write on paper, they are electronically transferred somewhere so that we are able to make sure that they provide the services to the farmers. The introduction of the incubator program targeting women, youth, and people with disabilities, and the facilitation of partnership with sector partners in the provision of support services. We are saying we may not do the work alone, but we want to bring other partners on board, because this is a huge and a massive job. So we can't do it alone as government, but we want also to encourage all the sector partners to work together with us towards the same plan. And in doing this, we have agreed that we are developing an agricultural sector plan, which we are consulting with all the partners in the sector, so that the implementation of that plan will be achieved together. The implementation of programs to support the training of integration reform beneficiaries from subsistence and smallholder farmers. This is very critical for us to deal with the issue of transforming the agrarian sector. The implementation of production and agro-processing support measures, especially strengthening the capacity for subsistence and smallholder farmers and medium-sized enterprises of producers. We are saying we want also not to engage only on the primary sector, but we want to also move to agro-processing in terms of supporting those farmers. Lastly, in terms of this area chair, we also saying to the DORA grant, as well as the relevant appropriations, are being utilized to ensure a vibrant, equitable, sustainable rural community is contributing towards food security for all. Now, in dealing with the DORA grant, what we are saying is that we realize that in the department, we had a lot of fragmented funding that we've been doing to the farmers. We had CAF, we had Ilimalisima, we had Agri-BEE funds, and we had Land Care, and then we had MAFISA. All those were very difficult by farmers to access. Now what we are saying is that we are consolidating all these funds into a one-stop shop. Well, they will be pulled together and make it easy for farmers to be able to access the funding. So that is the process that we have already begun to engage with the provinces to make sure that we all agree in this one-stop funding mechanism, and that will be easily accessible to the farmers, and we are able to make sure that these funds reach the intended beneficiaries at the end of the day. In dealing with the issues of agriculture, forestry, production, health and food safety, we're saying the program will promote efficient production, handling and processing of food, fiber and timber. We're also saying the department will contribute to increase number of commercial farm employees, specifically in the area of production. We have a target for the period up till 2014-2015. And to increase the number from 870,000 to 780,000, I'm sorry, to 800,000 by that period. So that is the target that we've been given. Say we tried to negotiate, but we were told this is given. This is what you must achieve. So we are putting our plans around achieving those deliverables in terms of increasing the labor. That is farm employees that are working in the sectors we've indicated above. We also have a number of smallholder farmers that needs to be increased from 200,000, which is the current figure, to 250,000. So we have a target of about 50,000 in terms of increasing the number of smallholder people that are going to be successful. The percentage of the small farmer producing for sale will also be increased from 4.07% to about 10% by 2014-2015 financial year. Those are the targets that the plan talks to say on a yearly basis what is this that we should do, by which resources, so that we can achieve these targets by the given time frame. The program will ensure sustainable management and efficient use of natural resources. So we're saying we're going to achieve this, but we're not going to over-exploit the natural resources. That is the soil, the water that we are given, we make sure that they are taken care of. And we invested, the outcomes are increased, the number of wetlands that we're going to rehabilitate to about 125, and decrease in the land affected by soil degradation, and the rate of deforestation must also be decreased. So that those are the targets that we are putting. In terms of the fisheries management, the program aims to promote the equitable and sustainable management of efficient use of marine living resources. A policy framework will be developed and implemented for fishing rights allocation in the commercial sector. We know there is a very strong debate currently that deals with this issue. I will also say to the committee that we are currently preparing and finalizing a cabinet memorandum that will go to the cabinet committee before the end of this month. I think by the 5th of May, the committee will have taken a decision on the issues on the implementation of fishing rights, especially the issues of the abalone. So those we are preparing, we are aligning them for finalization. A strategy will be put in place for the abalone and hake. This will be revised continuously in respect of research management and compliance. So those are the things that we're saying we're going to deal with them. Now, we are saying in terms of the department, there's key strategic focus areas that we want to deal with. I've have already indicated, number one, to develop a new funding option model. That is very critical for us to deal with. We need to engage in negotiations with the land bank, the IDC, and the commercial bank, international donors, to establish and implement a joint venture funding model, where together we can say, these are the projects that we want to implement, these are the time frames, and these are the resources that we have required, who's going to put what resources. So we want to finalize that new option for funding model. Secondly, key strategic area, sustainable use of natural resources. Develop and implement a strategy for sectoral decent green jobs, which we have currently started together with the Department of Environment, to ensure food security and sustainable livelihoods in rural, peri-urban, and urban areas. The issue of food security cuts across. We know it's very critical in the rural areas, but we want to include in the peri-urban and the urban areas. Strengthening the implementation of human resources development strategies, implement a comprehensive skill development program with domestic international partners in the next 3 to 5 years to target. We know a lot of skills are very scarce skills in the department. It's very difficult to find the people in the country. We have to look for them somewhere. Hence, we have then to begin to put up a skills development program for those skills that we are not in a position to get, which is agriculture, forestry, and fisheries science technicians. We have a challenge, environmental sciences, agriculture, forestry, and fisheries science engineers, microbiology, and food technology. Those are the people that we have to put up a special skills plan for that, so that we are in a position to develop them. We also say we want to facilitate the development and implementation of the sectoral employment and generation program. Firstly, we want to engage organized farmers associations and sectoral industries to find job creation in the initiative path. We say we won't be sitting alone in the department and thinking, how are we going to create this job? We'll go out there to organize farmers, want to engage the sector to make sure that we get those jobs. And we work together in dealing with that. Develop a partnership program for development of the new farmers. We also want to identify and ensure access to the new export market as a key priority area. The next key priority area, we want to intensify a cooperative development program to establish viable, sustainable rural cooperatives that are capable to engage in. So we want to go out there and make sure that these cooperatives that exist, or in areas where we need to develop cooperatives, we do cooperatives that are viable and sustainable. Disbursement of credit, distribution of agricultural inputs like seed, fertilizer, and agrochemicals. They must facilitate storage, processing, and distribution and marketing. They must also ensure access to production implements. Those cooperatives should be very functional and be effective. Those are the things that we want them to achieve at the end of the day. Implementation of implement programs to create on-farm infrastructure that will contribute to productive employment in poor rural areas. So these programs that we are rolling out, we want to make sure that we put up infrastructure, not only just infrastructure, but those infrastructure we're putting there must contribute to employment in the poor rural areas. It means they must be working. Development of the rural economy, they must be integrating in the marginal economic activities into the sectoral development zone. Expansion of opportunities for production and processing, access to markets and production inputs, attracting other development initiatives to the targeted area. So whatever we are starting must make sure that it attracts other development opportunities to come into the area. Then we also want to expand exports through enhanced inter-Africa trade and overall increase productivity. Now, if we are targeting those areas, we want to make sure that we increase production and we want people to be employed. Obviously, we're going to produce surpluses in a number of commodities. And we must then begin to expand our exports, because there will be more production happening in the country. So we'll be strengthening the capacity through the restructure, DAF, to negotiate market access. Critically for Africa, we have to begin to negotiate markets in Africa, also internationally. We want to introduce a technical assistance program for special markets to enhance trade with SADC and the rest of Africa. We want effective utilization of foreign representatives to identify markets and facilitate access protocols. Establish a committee, social, economic, and scientific, to ensure oversight and certification of imports and exports to safeguard the national interest in those kinds of issues. Because we don't want to open our borders in all sorts of things. So we have to begin to make sure what comes in and what goes out is not putting us at risk. Priority in terms of access to affordable food and export expansion. We want to provide support to increase production on niche markets, products that offer competitive advantage, enhance existing production capacities, and bring into production through agrarian reform programs on fallow land. That's the program that I've already indicated to you, that we want to make sure that fallow lands are being cultivated, especially those that are in the former homeland area. Integration of agrarian reform enterprises to the overall commercial export producers in terms of infrastructure. We introduce an export credit guarantee program for agrarian reform beneficiaries. Chair, I know I'm not doing very well on time. I'm left with one slide, then I go to the figures. The implementation of human resources development programs for the beneficiaries. We want to make sure that the beneficiaries are also capacitated. By the time we implement those programs to them, there must be a skills program that is going through with them. We want to provide resources for cooperative establishment and training of cooperative managers in various entrepreneurial schemes. We have already launched a program on the material that we have done together with what do you call these people that accredit the CITAS. That program has been finalized. We've got material that are accredited by the CITAS and we've launched them. So we are in a position to begin to train them on those programs and are accredited. Then through pre-settlement support, we want to identify potential farmers, women and youth, through the dedicated screening of 3 to 6 months training to equip them with the production, all relevant marketing, managerial, and processing skills. Those are the things that we want the cooperative to be very skilled on. Provide a well-educated extension officer and technician to provide on-farm training for new beneficiaries of agrarian reform programs. Those are the things that we want to do. And then lastly, Chair, we want to give you the schedule of conditional grants that we're going to be giving out to the province, which we're going to begin to monitor to make sure that this money that we're rolling out are achieving these things. I've already initially indicated to you that one of the provinces to provide us with a plan, which we are going to monitor in this effect on the basis of this money that we are giving. In page 31, Chair, we are giving you the CASP conditional grant, comprehensive agricultural support program, money that we are giving to the provinces for implementation. Chair, I'm going to only give the total, the schedule, the date, just tells us how much money is sent to the province by when. To the Eastern Cape, we are giving them 160 million. To the Free State, we are giving them 75.7 million. Gauteng, we are giving them 42.1 million. KwaZulu-Natal were giving them 135.8 million. Limpopo were giving them 144.5 million. Mpumalanga were giving them 81.9 million. Eastern Northern Cape were giving them 58.2 million. Northwest were giving them 100.7 million. And the Western Cape were giving them 63 million. And the total in terms of the CAP accounts to 862 million. That's the money that we are giving to the provinces, which we have to monitor and make sure that it does the things that we said about, of which plans have been submitted to us now in terms of what is these things that they're going to do, and then when the implementation comes, we have to make sure that those things are done and achieved. The next list is the money that we are sending them in terms of illegality. Eastern Cape was giving them 20 million, Free State was giving them 26 million, Gauteng 10 million, KwaZulu-Natal 30 million, Limpopo 20 million, Mpumalanga 20 million, Northern Cape 30 million, Northwest giving them 20 million, and the Western Cape was giving them 24 million, which accounts to 200 million. That's the money that we are going to release to the province in terms of illegality. Then the land tax. Say, I don't know, I must read this one. These are not very big figures. Land care that we're giving, the total amount that we're giving to the province is account to 54 million. That's the total amount of land care. But there is also a breakdown in terms of how much each province is getting. And then lastly, Chair, there is a program that we call Extension Recovery Plan to make sure that the officials on the ground are capacitated and are able to deliver a quality service to achieve those outcomes. And then we are giving them the money to deal specifically with that, to make sure that the extension officers do have a laptop, they have a cell phone, they are able to log in on the site to tell the farmer the critical information that the farmer is needing on the ground. We are giving a total of 284 million to the province. There is a breakdown of how much each province is getting. And that figure was informed by the numbers on the ground, how many each province had. And those were divided then accordingly so that the provinces are in a position to deliver a quality service through trained extension personnel. That has been equipped also with the resources that they can do. If you also see the extension recovery plan figures, if you look at the CAP, they are also included there. We just wanted to highlight that. To say in the CAP budget, you must minus 284,000, which goes for capacity building extension. They are in the CAP. So it's not an addition to that CAP money. We just wanted to indicate that we must minus 284 that goes to the personnel extension people on the ground. Chairperson, I'm going to end there. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It's a long presentation, but it's very important. I think everybody has listened carefully, as I've been listening carefully to the presentation. And when it comes to the speaker, we just take our minds and just listen carefully also. I think I will hand over first to the honorable members. I think they have listened carefully to the judgment and also with speakers. I will hand over to them to ask some questions with the MEP. As the Honourable West, Honourable Forrest, do you want to say something? Pardon?
Yes.
Honourable Forrest, that's what you came late. I think you will take us on the way. I'll give you to Honourable West.
Thank you, Chair, and I'd like to thank the acting DG for his presentation. And also, don't want to ask the same questions that have been in a later session with the NA. So you're probably used to all the questions coming forward, and you'll have the right answer. Some of those questions that weren't asked there. You seem to be outnumbered today. I'd like to rather talk about things that I've actually seen and where part of the main job of the NCOP oversight. And 2 or 3 weeks ago we went to the Eastern Cape as our chairperson was confirmed, and there I read in the paper when we arrived there of the collapse, for example, I'm going to jump around a bit now, to abalone, fishing business there, commercial, but I think IDC had a big stake in it. But in 5 years that they've been commercially farming with abalone, they haven't produced one abalone for the market, and this has collapsed. I want to know as your department or officials, the section overlooks this, oversees these functions, or is it sponsored by IDC, then you stand back and you say, no, we've got nothing to do with between business and officials. If you could just give me an explanation on that. Also, we're going to have a look at this irrigation scheme. I forget what it's called, Chief, that's irrigation, where there's this huge dam and there's canals by gravitational force, bring the water down and they're going to holding all my swimming pools and then every few kilometers. And this was once upon a time, obviously part of the Transkei, because there's a plaque there commemorating it. It was opened in 1984. But subsequent to that, allowed to go completely to pieces. We had a meeting in the one office where there was an aerial photograph taken, probably, I don't know, we never date, I couldn't see that. We see a whole patchwork of greenfield, now there's absolutely nothing. Everything's been stripped out of there, and there's water, there's sunshine, it just needs some, probably money, yes, an effort to get this going again and to create it. And if you're talking about food security, this is a wonderful example where it's gone to several racking rooms. So please have a look at that. As you said, you're going to investigate. Then job creation, greening, I don't know if it's falling apart, greening. Soil erosion is shocking that area. We drove and we saw soil erosion. These people put stones together. I mean, I don't have to tell you, to the agriculture department in the dish, and block it off to try and reclaim the land. But it is kilometre after kilometre of just soil erosion. Really choppy, even if it's in the short term, to try and assist, but it is very, very bad. Then you, I see the department's got a budget of 3.6 billion, but land care, I don't know what is all in total. If in fact talking about soil erosion or job creation, I see they allocated 3 million. Is that now what, I'd just like to know all the two months what falls under land care. Then there was an ad, advertisement place. I brought one this time from Free State newspaper there. Yeah, the group of other potential mentors in the non-profit sector. You're calling for mentors to come forward and help and assist the department. Now, nowhere does it say whether these mentors who come forward, I'd just like to know how successful has this been, is this still ongoing? These mentors, are they going to be rewarded at all in the sense of any remuneration or just travelling costs? I'd just like to know because I don't think they mentioned in here. Then we've had, and I'm covering now, somebody was covered by the NA Rift Valley Fever, as you know, which was broken out. What is the position regard to veterinarian services by the department? Is there a shortage? Is there an attempt to train people up for that? The same goes for extension officers. Yes, you're calling for volunteers here, but have we got enough extension officers? Have they been trained to assist the other farmers? Then genetically modified foods. I see there was a big outcry from all sorts in the paper the other day. We exported food from South Africa to either Zambia or I don't know whether it was Namibia, I don't know. But they made a big hue and cry. It was wheat, I think, or maize, I'm not sure. Where it was genetically modified. Have we now accepted certain modifications? And what about the rest of the continent? How far have we progressed along those lines? Then, biofuels. Somebody here was mentioning renewable energy sources. Biofuels, I know for food security we did not want to use maize, for some years you have excess of maize, but there was talk about possibly using sugarcane for things that do in Brazil, whatever, to produce a fuel. How far have we gone along with what statistics have come to a driving halt? Fishing rights, of course, are also very important. Commercial sector, I don't know. We look forward to seeing once that is sorted out. That's a big problem. Then I see you mention your hake abalone fish. What about indigenous, well, they are indigenous fish, but what about things like carp, yellowfish, even barbel, for inland dams and so forth, to promote that, the consumption of that? I don't think it's been promoted very well. We've got Gharib Dam there in the Free State and other dams, and I know they're going on Gharib, I think the Chinese or a community involved there, but what about the active marketing of that? And then, of course, the land bank, a lot of money's been put into the land bank. I know this was discussed extensively in the NA. It was a one-off thing. How are they, together with your department, you say you're going to assist rural development. Now, rural development obviously hasn't got a budget. Rural development also depends on all the other departments to come together. Now you say, yes, we're going to assist rural development. Have you set aside money for that? Or how is that going to be coordinated as a whole?
Thank you, Honorable. Yeah, thank you, Chair. And thank you for the DG, DG. When are you going to be full DG? Because you're going to speak to me, you know, permanent DG. You are talking somewhere here on page 7 and 11 from the Labour Excellence Service. Yes, the construction, the intention is very good. But my experience with the Department of Agriculture, this is one thing that I have really been missing to see. As you see me now, I'm also a subsistence farmer, but I don't get any help from your department. And my question is, now that the National Department has got a full-fledged department of monitoring and evaluation, with all this intention that you are putting in paper here, do you have people in your department that are dedicated to monitor issues of delivery, excellence, and, you know, for the people on the ground to be able to say, this is what the Department of Culture is delivering to us? Question one. Question two. In all this intention that you are delivering here on page 8, my concern is, do you accept have infrastructure in place to be able to meet all your intentions and achievements? Then page 9, you are talking about sustainable management of natural resources. Right, I agree with you that it's very important, but on the other hand, in addition, I would like to know from you, Mr. FDG, are you aware of some places where natural resources that you actually need to implement, you know, some development in agriculture, including rural development, that there exist already natural resources that are there, that can then be mobilized and be coordinated, actually to be put in a stage of production? For instance, as I say, I'm from the Northern Cape, I've got what is called a very big irrigation scheme, Palace. And it is only supplying water to commercial farmers. And next to it, actually, what we eat, just together, we have a village of Tabun where people don't make use of this system. Now, my question is, why can this irrigation system be extended to the people of Tabun? And we were there last year to check on this irrigation. We found that in some places, in itself, you know, the system itself is dilapidated. Seemingly, there is no proper care on it. And then we have a place also next to the very same irrigation system, Majen, which is actually in the middle of the system. but the people of Madiem who are recently been relocated as a community that was forcibly removed in the 3 days of fire. Do you have any plan to integrate the Madiem community to be able to use this system? And then we also have what is called the pit of death. It carries a very big volume of water throughout. It's a river, I'm sorry, a dam, that extends from the front stoops of a very big village next to it. But those people cannot even take a mug of water and drink it. That dam, for your information, is built on the land, on the side of the land, on the side of the river, which is the land was occupied by the villagers. They were actually plowing there. That river is actually, that dam is built on the land where people were actually plowing and producing food. I remember my grandfather used to be one of the top agriculturists there. He used to produce quite the substantial amount of, you know, food. But because the land was then, you know, used for the dam, that the, you know, people who were plowing there, you know, stopped abruptly up to now. And that was somewhere in the late 50s. Now my question on that is, why that dam cannot also be used to organize villagers there to engage in, you know, in agricultural production, where they will not be depending on the rainy season only, but then they can just get water from this dam.
Honorable Paul, I did not see that you have not been recorded. Your mic has been off.
Yeah, the other thing is that I think it's last month we took a visit, our committee, the chair took us to the Eastern Cape, and there we came to a place that I think it is And we found a very big irrigation scheme. But if you can stand on a, you know, a top level and you look at the land itself, you find patches of unused land, which according to the villagers, it was pieces of land that was also being used for plowing, but the plowing has now been reduced to a point where they only, you know, plow there and here and there and here and there. Actually, the whole thing is declining. And when we were sitting and discussing with the villagers, one thing that we recorded was that some of the equipment that was used by the people to irrigate the land was recently being auctioned. Now, it was a surprise as to how can you do that. But this is what we got from the, you know, from the people, that the equipment was auctioned. I want to know whether the Department of Agriculture is aware of such a thing, or did you give the right of way? And if you did, how these equipment are going to be replaced?
Yeah.
talking about efficient production, increasing number of operational farms, and so forth and so forth. My question is, what are you going to do specifically to increase, not to, to achieve all the increased efficient production and increase of the commercial farmers? And we also come across here, you are going to increase the employment of farmers from 780,000 rand to 800,000 rand. What are you specifically going to do in order to achieve this? Because from what you have said, you you were surprised by whoever gave you the target figure. Yeah, but then tell me, explain to us what is your department plan to achieve this number, because that is very, very important. People, most of the people that are unemployed in our country and that are the shed dwellers are people who come, who have been displaced from the farms. I think that because agriculture, land reform, and rural development is one of the priorities of the present government. And if we really want to achieve something that is concrete, that can be seen with your naked eye, the concentration should be around the development of agriculture, land reform, and rural development. Why? Because historically speaking, the basic economic activity of a black man is always attached to the land. Other things come better. So if we really can concentrate on this sector, on this priority, I feel then we can make a dent in unemployment and poverty, eradication of poverty. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Father. When you are dealing with the two honorable members, you must be, you must take your time to go to a farmer. So they will take their time.
Mm-hmm.
I must give honor to Makasha.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. Thank you, Kaka. Firstly, I must apologize for joining the meeting. My first question is with regard to the irrigation scheme. More especially from the former homeland, that is the same case, and then Umzimkulu, especially they are joined to into what's the matter. You know, this irrigation scheme, I would like the Office of OTP to pay an attention to those education schemes, because the communities are gaining a lot of education schemes, but now they are not functional. And the department is that the people now are not doing anything there, you know. I don't know whether they are lazy or what, but there's nothing there. And the effect that those irrigation schemes brought something to the community. Gigi, you must know that your department is a city, but school of the department here, when we are in city, your lesson life. So, we must know that according to our national priorities, this one is the key to what we do. Two, I would like to know what measures have been put in place for preventing diseases your agriculture sector with regards to the 2010 Soccer World Cup. And lastly, with extension officers, unfortunately I'm coming from the deep rural area. We would like the extension officers to be skilled and capacitated, because they give the communities down there, please.
Didi, when I asked the question as to whether you are aware that in some places there are already existing natural resources, there's one place that I forgot to mention, which is actually in my place. So I don't want you to add it into your list of those areas. Schmidtsburg is on the bank of the Vaal River. And the community has been settled for many, many years now, about 15 years. But up to now, they are not using the rolling water that goes down in the Vaal River to the Orange, and the Orange carries it into the Atlantic Ocean. They are not using that. On top of that, as I was the leader of the community then, we asked for water rights. And the water right was given by Professor Kala Asma when he still was the Minister of Water Affairs. I would also appeal very strongly to DG that you pay your close attention to Schmidt in terms of introducing irrigation. Soil test was done. Well, it's quite some time now, maybe we'll need to redo some soil test now. But it was done, and it was failed for many number of crops that can be developed. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable, for I think all the questions have been answered, but I've got only some few that maybe on page 20 on the program of Agriculture, Forestry, Production, Health, and Food Safety. You have indicated the target for 2014 and 2015. What budget allocation has been made to support this increase? Are these realistic or achievable? I want to know. Again, on page 21, the wetlands rehabilitation targets, are these linked to the working for wetland program or extra expanded public works project? Again, you talk about the, when you talk about the fisheries, I want to know, will the department now be responsible for issuing the permits? Is the department ready for that? DG, when you talk about the monitoring and evaluation, I'm worried when you talk about that, because I don't know whether the department is going to start it now to do that, because I see that there was no monitoring in the through the provinces. The people are just doing that, the thing that they don't know. If you have done that monitoring, you're supposed to know what is happening in the Northern Irrigation Scheme. But just because there was no monitoring, maybe I want to start it now. And that thing, if you don't do, and you don't stress yourself to do that, you will find yourself that the device doesn't work. If you don't do that monitoring from national down. Because I don't want to say the provinces are left, I don't want to do that, but I said that the national department must make sure that there is a monitoring in the scheme or whatever, in the budget. Because if you look at the budget, sometimes there are some rollovers in some provinces, but there are some things that need to be done in the communities. That's because there is no monitoring. You again talk about the the budget that is going to go to the extension officers, if I'm not mistaken. I'm glad to hear that, because I don't know where Vision Eastern Cape, we have been interacting with the extension officers. We are so surprised, did you, when we had those extension officers don't know anything. If you ask what is happening, they don't know. They don't know their job. They don't know what is happening. And we said that, what are those people doing? What is this people are doing? They're just getting the money from the department, but they don't know. So the workshop are needed to those people. And also, and I think there's some also to monitor them, because we were just cutting some chocolate orders before. Since that, those people are just driving, all of them. They were driving the Western cars, beat them, all of them, 4x4. And then one some teacher put some hands on the car and said, what is this? You know? It's like that. When you are going to, they are going to see what I'm saying.
Yes.
You are going to see, and you must call them, and you are going to see what I'm saying. They don't know anything. It means that you will put the budget, and this budget will bring. There's nothing that is going to happen in your budget if you don't do that monitoring. So just to put an emphasis. To that, and again in that option was a scheme. You know, there was a thing that said that there was a missionary who was supposed to be 17 million if I'm not mistaken, but it was sold by 35,000.
Yeah, for
35,000. So those things, I think I'm very happy when I heard that. The department is going down to check that, because it's those things that destroy the department. Somebody will say the department of agriculture doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
No, if you talk about the agriculture, but once you are in the topic next time, you do your work, but down there, they are not doing anything. Thank you, teacher. More food.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I have 3 pages full of questions.
Yeah,
and
this is the only one
on this. Nothing. I never talk something else. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Chair. What I'm gonna do? I will pick some questions here, and then as I go through, I'll indicate which of our members is going to respond to some of these questions so that we get more detail in the responses. So I'll initially respond to those that I can and then pass them around.
Okay. Thank you, teacher. I think some of other questions, if you don't, you can send us in writing. Send it to us. But you know, when we send to the department, send us in writing, we don't receive those questions. But if you mean that there is a lot of things you can send us to writing that those that are really into questions that you will answer that.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Especially those that we need to go back and do more investigation. We'll do that. Yeah. Thank you, Chair. Before I start responding, I've realized that there is a common question. The common question comes to the target that we are setting. We have initially indicated that what we may need to do, we were asking the two committees, together with the Committee on Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, that we organize a workshop so that we workshop the outcome document. We are aware that the presidency has developed an outcome document. That document was discussed at the Janawari Lekutla. From that outcome document, there were outputs that each department or each cluster was tied to deliver. And the president is going to measure on those agreed outcomes. And then ministers are going to have a contract with the presidency on those deliverables. So they're going to say, this department is expected to do 1, 2, 3, 4, and these are the targets in terms of those issues. So we wanted to, together with you, to sit and discuss those outputs from the outcome document. There are 12 outcomes. Out of the 12, 9 have been prioritized by the president. And agriculture is participating, agriculture, forestry, and fisheries is participating critically on 4 of those, which is the economic growth and job creation. We are participating on the rural development. We have to deliver specific targets on those. We are participating on infrastructure development, not the bulk infrastructure, but the on-farm infrastructure. And we are also participating on the environment outcome. Those are the 4 key ones for us. The others we do, but we don't have targets in terms of delivery, so we participate to assist others to be able to deliver. And that is the area where we want to sit, so that you know those targets, we interact with you, we give you the figures, we tell you where they come from. Those are the ones that I was saying we are not at liberty to change. We have to develop ways and means to achieve them, because they have been coined and built such that they must all together contribute to the 5% growth in the GDP. There's an expectation to grow by 2014 that the growth, the GDP growth must be at 5%. And without tying down those deliverables, you may not achieve. So we want to come together and see, so that we all together look at that document, understand it. But the expectation is that in the next strategic plan that we will deliver to you, because now we have achieved partial integration into that document. We have not fully integrated into responding to that document. We will present the next plan in the June Bifuka, where we will then say, these are the things that we've already integrated into the document, these are the ones that we are still working towards. So that by the coming financial year, we must have 100% integration into responding to that document from the president, so that we achieve those deliverables. So we want to have a one-day workshop with the committee, so that we go into the details of that document, so that we all understand what is the direction that we are taking, with what resources are we going to do this, what capacities do we have, so that we all say, yes, this we're going to achieve. These are the resources we need so that we can achieve those. So, just I wanted to say that before we come to responding to the question. The cabinet has approved the document, and the ministers are beginning to get the letter. So we have the first draft of the letter sent to the minister to say the president is ready to sign, and they are tying the ministers to say, these are the deliverables. If you don't deliver on those things, president is going to be monitoring us on a quarterly basis to say, this is what the minister must deliver, how far are you and where are you in terms of this, what are the challenges that you are having. So those are the things that we want to make the committees aware, so that we can move together. Let me respond to the issues first raised by the chair, and then we will then start and move to the other. That's the first one that the chair raised on the allocation of targets and budgets. So that comes from that document that has been developed. Now, that document was developed in interaction with the clusters and the department. but then they were at great deliverables, because you can't create jobs when you don't target a certain outcome. So those are the things that we've been pinned on. We may not have the resources to deal with them, but we are at liberty to go out in the private sector and ask the private sector to work with us to provide additional resources so that we make sure that we deliver on those. And the private sector is also willing to come on board and help us to deliver on this. In our press statement yesterday, we have indicated a partnership that is possible now, where the private sector is saying they can make up about 6 billion available. Half of that to the international, that is Africa, and half of that in Africa. So we have to sit down and come up with deliverables now to say, how do we achieve that? What are these plans? Because they are saying we can work together with you and then provide those resources in dealing with those issues that we want to achieve. Chairperson, when we deal with the issues of the wetlands linked with EPWC, there are two officials that are going to help us, forestry and the natural resource people, Mr. Msomi and Mr. Mtova, and Tingile will respond directly on that one. The issuing of permits, I'm looking here, our acting DDG in the fisheries, Dr. Mono, is going to respond on the issuing of permits. Monitoring and evaluation through the provinces, are we starting now or have we started before? We haven't done it before. All that we did was allocating the money and left the responsibility to the provinces. All we were requesting is reports and how they were spending. We were not entirely dealing with the monitoring. We at very ad hoc visited some of the projects, but we never had a plan on how to deal with the monitoring. But now we are saying in the new structure, we are setting up a unit that is going to deal with the monitoring. We have to release the money and follow it and make sure that it reaches the intended beneficiaries and those projects are done properly. So that is what we are saying in the proposed structure that we put now, that we're going to be implementing very soon, and we're putting up that unit. We have some of the people internally, but the bigger majority we don't have. We still have to go and find people to put into that structure because of the new function that we are bringing on to do the monitoring. It will go not only in the provinces, but also monitoring our SOEs, our ARC, OBP, CP, ECB, those that we are giving money. We also have to follow that money and make sure that they are doing the right things. And they all build into the one outcome that we are putting on our strategic plan. We also do it the same way also with the local government. Those projects that are going to a local government level, we will follow it and make sure that it's being implemented. So it's gonna be a huge job, but we have to deal with that and make sure we do the reporting. The budget for extension officers, our big hope is that through capacitation of the extension personnel, we can achieve this program. We have some numbers on the ground. We have people on the ground. We need some bit of orientation, commitment, tie them into contractual arrangements so that they begin to deliver. If anybody is tied to a contract to deliver certain goods, at the end of the year you sit down and say, this is what we expected you to deliver. How far have you gone? Have you done 1, 2, 3, 4? We believe we'll begin to get a direction in terms of that. So that is the intention. We want to improve on their skills. We realize some of them don't have the technical kind of training that is required. So we have to help them to achieve that kind of technical our intention was by 2012 to register each extension officer, like you have in your medical association. That these are the requirements an extension officer should have, so that he can be able to advise a farmer what crop, what fertilizer, and so on. So we register them and we put them down, and we say, if you don't have these qualities, you are not fit to be a farming extension officer. We can use you for something else, but not for advising farmers, because you need to have the technical knowledge. Otherwise, you will not be able to provide support to the farm. So that is the idea. It was, when we started it, it was a four-year program. I think we have already done a year, starting with the enrolling of the extension officer to the Indian College. So we are getting there. So we are aware that the challenge is there, but we are working around that. Chair, the issue of the auction of the scheme, we're already making a commitment on that one. We'll ask the province to give us a report, and we'll visit the scheme, and we'll give you a report before the end of the month to say. At Ngoha, I think we will have to look at all the schemes, Tofimbaba, all those in the area that we have formed. We will also give you a report of those that we have already started to work with, of which Falhas, I believe, was one of those that we have already started working with. Katini is one of those. So there's about three that we started in the financial year to do rehabilitation. And we are intending to expand on this and eventually cover. We may not do all of them in 1 year, depending how much resources we have, and then we can give you a plan how we're going to begin to move to all of them and cover those things. Chair, can I ask them, I will have to ask them one by one to respond. Dr. Mashaba can respond on the Eastern Cape Avalon fishing, and also bring on board the IDC project in the Eastern Cape. And then Mr. Msomi will follow him on the land care, and also bring in the job creation in terms of the soil erosion. How are we going to integrate that in increasing the job? And then the 3.7 billion that is allocated in the Eastern Cape, is it enough? The member here, West, has said he saw tracts of land that were degraded. Can we do them 3.7 million? Or what is the plan? What are we going to do? The advertisement, maybe I must deal with the advert of the Eastern Cape. Free State. We have two departments nationally, and that ends up becoming one department provincial. The provincial departments are called, most of them are called agriculture, rural development, environment. Some are three in one, some are four in one, and so on and so on. And these MECs have to report to three ministers nationally. In particular, this project is a project that has been arranged through the Department of Rural Development. We had a challenge with it. Our worry is that the mentorship that is provided by commercial farmers is ad hoc. If anybody has a farm and is asked to support the other farm, he will first do his. I will first do my own land, plow, and do everything. If at any time left, I can come and help you, which means your crop will always be late. That is our challenge in terms of mentorship. We are saying we don't entirely agree with mentors that are provided by commercial farmers, because they use spare time to do that. So they don't dedicate it full time. Our approach was to go into partnership and shareholding. Partnership and shareholding has been our idea. Because if you go into partnership and shareholding, it means you're putting your own money in there and you will not allow your own resources to go down the drain. And that will be the most effective way of helping and capacitating and the smallholders, especially the land reform beneficiaries. So we were promoting, because that also brings in investment, so that when government comes and brings in resources, there's a partner somewhere that will also invest and also make sure that those investments are secure in that area. So we are discussing with them, we're going to finalize the agreement with rural development and have a way forward. Together with that, we are putting up a program between ourselves, rural development, and the land bank. We're bringing the three ministers together, treasury, rural development, and ourselves, on rehabilitating the distressed farms that were due for repossession by the land bank. We put up a plan on how do we bring those farms back to production. But before we do that, we are busy with an analysis now. So which of those can we bring back? Which of those that are water in the trees? Because some of them, no matter how much money you put in there, you will not bring them back to production because of other reasons. Some of them is reckless lending by the land bank. Some of them is a number of reasons that you may continue pump money there, but you cannot revive those. It could be the wrong commodity that was done, and so on. So we are finalizing the analysis, and then we'll begin to agree which ones of those can we still revive and put them back into production. So there's a plan that we have in place to deal with those. The Rift Valley fever, I will ask Dr. Maja to respond on that one on behalf of the Office of the DG. and the GMO, Mr. Song, can you respond on that one, more specifically the maize in Kenya and the media issues. Also the biofuel, Mr. Song will look at that one. Mono will deal with the hake and the abalone. Rural development, Chair, this one we will not be able to respond to it, whether they have a budget or they don't. We ourselves are allocating money to provide support to rural development projects, and especially those that are indicated. And questions that were asked by the Honourable Member Mokoro, in terms of this delivery excellence service, Chair, we mean what we putting on the paper. We strive for excellence. And those are the things that we want us to be dealt with. We have a list here, Chair. I'm not sure if we'll deal with all of them, or you better allow us to go back and do the answer and bring them back.
Yes, I think now I've got only 10 minutes, and I'll give this question for about 10 minutes. We've exceeded the time. It was supposed to start at about 12 o'clock. So at least if others can, we can receive it in writing. So at least that's only 10 minutes to respond for those that are going to respond. 3 minutes each.
Okay, thank you, Chair. You know, let's respond to your question in regard to permits. Yes, we are issuing permits. You know, in Webenstock, we just transfer the branch to DAF and it continues with it there. So everything is on track. And in regard to the abalone farm in the Eastern Cape, we are aware of that. And the only problem was that in our branch, actually, just issues a permit to allow you to do, marine aquaculture on land. So the whole issue of funding was done by the IDC and also the provincial department. But it seems in, you know, in that joint venture there were problems. So both the IDC and the provincial department withhold, you know, the funding for the project. So why, you know, that project ended up, you know, collapsing, you know, it was in the news, you know. And we're in a difficult situation because it was before we, you know, as agriculture took over the function of fisheries. So there was nothing that, you know, we can do because we think in the fisheries component, there's no support structure like funding or anything like that. So now, since we are part of one family, we'll then start to roll out development funding into fisheries. So we'll be able to support such programs like that one. And you know, in regard to the whole issue of aquaculture, yes, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. Because we are relying on the inshore and high seas, you know, fishing. And many councils that are in the fishing industry, you know, I'm told they moved into the inland fishing, aquaculture, and all, you know, aquaculture development. So, we are working with the Chinese to try to develop capacity. Because our biggest challenge in aquaculture is capacity. We don't have capacity as a country. Mainly, most of our experts are foreigners when it comes to actually inland fishing. So, that facility, you know, in Harare, in the state, will actually be able to assist us to build that capacity and also do a lot of research in order to enhance our aquaculture development in the country. So that's the very short. But we'll share with you more information in the future. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Chair. On the wetlands, the figure 125 comes from the performance outcome document that DG referred to. And we will use it all over, it's an outcome over 4 years, the term of government. And the land care, the figure for Eastern Cape is 8.7 million. So over the next 4 years, Marble has 30 more or less, something like that. But that's not obvious, it's going to the whole Eastern Cape. So prioritize that. Then again, we are submitting a fencing program, business plan, for the areas that are highly eroded, to fence them off and whatsoever, and then through that in creating jobs. Secondly, we also be having rehabilitation instruction. So obviously this will need more funds than the 8 million that the land case is having. And we are putting up a business plan, this will be submitted to the DG. And the DG will say where the other funds will come from. We've been asked to give a business plan in terms of that. So that will both deal with the issues of soil erosion and also with the issues of green jobs. The other one is the biofuel. We do have maize now, momentarily. We have got a surplus, then it is going to go up and down. And given the discussion in Parliament yesterday was that when you look at the gross margin for maize, you find that the costs are higher than what the farmers are being paid. So this might then push down the number of tons to produce. So at this point in time, in the approved biofuel strategy, maize is excluded because of it being a strategic focus. So, but sugar cane, it can be used. But what we're waiting for now is actual implementation and the giving targets, how much the drug will be part of the sugar that you buy. Once that kicks in, it's only then that you continue with those. But sugar cane is part of it. That's only maybe that is not enough. Then if I come to the GMO, we are members of the Cartagena Protocol, and then we follow the biosafety protocol. So in terms of which, before we export GMO maize, the receiving government will have to issue us authorization. And this due process was followed with the Kenyan authority. And they issued us that authorization. And then our department did issue an export permit. And then this maize then was dispatched. The consignment was dispatched to Kenya. I think what happened there is that when it arrived at the Mombasa airport, the NGO Green Movement opposed to that. So I think that's where the whole thing is. So far, we haven't heard that the Kenyan authorities have not yet withdrawn this authorization. So that's where the impact is in terms of that. I think that for the other questions in terms of irrigation scheme, we will, we have already put a request in the department. We're also writing a business plan in terms of the revitalization and resuscitation of irrigation scheme. And they will do the investigation in the Eastern Cape of the schemes and schemes around, then we'll give a response back to that one. And the Falahat, we are working there, we started to work there. And in Taung, we have started to revitalize Taung. We repaired about 52 center people. So we are revitalizing that. The issues we need to do is to have another canal to increase the amount of water to move into Taung region so that we can increase that one. So, but the canal is the responsibility of Dua, Water Affairs, with the infrastructure. So we are working with them so that they can increase the amount of water that is passed through. Our response is to deal with the methods of making sure that there is good drainage. Because if there is not good drainage, it destroys the water canal that passes through the scheme. So we are working with, in collaboration with the two. So we are hopeful that the budget will be made available by our subcommittee. I think we'll provide them, we also provide our database, the official figure for the irrigation scheme, 1.3 million hectares, but it varies from 900,000 to 1.67 million. So, but what's the official figure? What's the 1.3? So we'll provide those figures with the small scheme, small whole irrigation scheme there, so that you can
I think the question of the witness has been addressed by the commission, but I just wanted to share some information, Chairperson, based on my experience in the UK. I'm in forestry, but as I said, I was involved with the education scheme whilst I was working with the forestry. I know, and I want to acknowledge what the honourable member was saying about the potential that is there in the northern business and all other business in the northwest and others in terms of job creation. And I know that the Department of Water Affairs at the time when I was there did some work in terms of improving the infrastructure, those canals that you're talking about. They did put it in place and currently I'm talking at this ICK, which is the development area of the Department of Agriculture is prioritizing the vitalization of those businesses currently. So I think as a department, we will have to work very closely with them and look at what they have planned for the entire area. They might not have been part of the issue, but I think there's a lot of work that they're doing in terms of this vitalization.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very quickly on the outbreak of disease, more specifically referring to the Ukraine fever. Yes. We have a challenge in the country. We don't have a vaccine bank. And the problem with the vaccine is that they have a shelf life. So you cannot buy or develop a lot of vaccine because after a certain period, if nothing happens, you must dispose it off. So what we are proposing now and want to develop towards is to develop a vaccine bank where we can then begin to store these vaccines for a certain period of time. So that in a case where you have a vaccine, you don't have an outbreak, you don't have a challenge in terms of accessing enough vaccine to deal with the challenge. So that has been a big problem also with the outbreak of resistant fever. By the time you have an outbreak, is the time where you then ask the on a State Board Biological Institute to begin. And to do a batch, it takes about, how long? 6 weeks. 5-6 weeks. By the time you are waiting for that 6 weeks to develop that consignment of vaccines, you have a challenge. So those are the things that we be saying we want to begin to deal with, so that we begin to effectively deal with the issue of outbreak, and so that you are able to control and contain the outbreak within a limited period of time.
Thank you. Thank you for your response and your team. I think we must appreciate the workshop that we are planning, that we are going to do. It's very important to us. It will help us also when we are doing our oversight to give the community the targets and whatever. So it will help us when we are doing the oversight. So we appreciate that. This budget book number 25 will be debated in the House on the 18th of May. On the 18th of May afternoon, we'll be debating it in the House. I think I must take this opportunity to thank the department and my honorable members to have time to interrogate the document, the budget, whatever. So thank you very much. Have a nice journey, trip to Joburg or Pretoria, whatever. Travel safe. Thank you very much.